Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world. How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. And to the rest of the world, say your prayer. Knock your door. Your family has returned. Run.
With your host,
Dear Kitty, Kitty, Kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Now I've heard it said a few times by a couple of different people that maybe I have a big ego. As good as I am, I should have the biggest ego on the planet. Hell, after all, I am that damn good.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a very fine hello over to the people at Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for joining us there. And, of course, over at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
We are here live, and what a loaded show we have for everyone here tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward. Join in the conversation. Come to the chat room in the places Lindsay mentioned, as tonight we're talking everything in the world, and we have a guest as well.
But we have breaking news. We have breaking news, and all. It's NFL draft night, and the Falcons are picking. And the pick is in. Who the Falcons selected? Keanu Neal. We took a safety from... Why did we take a safety?
Because defense rocks. Defense rocks.
We need everything, so okay, we'll go for it. But yay, welcome to Atlanta, Keanu Neal. Yay! He's from Florida, so that's going to make the Georgia fans very unhappy. That should be fun, because that's what we do here. Florida and Georgia, they hate each other.
Grr,
but yes, we are talking NFL draft tonight. We are talking payback. We are joined by the fabulous Evan Michael Lee later in the show. He is one of the stars of Camp WWE, which debuts Sunday.
On the WWE Network On Demand, I believe at some point during that, maybe after payback On Demand, Camp WWE. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll talk to him all about it at the end of the program.
Yes, but, well, since it is draft night, and the draft is currently happening, because Buffalo is now on the board, although I think they've already picked. Wow, that was fast. No, they can't have, because Goodell's still hugging. Goodell's really touchy-feely tonight.
It's what he does. It's what he does. The pick is in, but he gets the man love, and he enjoys all the man love he can get.
It's the one night a year that he's loved. Like, all the rest of the time, everybody hates Goodell.
Are we really sure he's loved tonight? Have you been listening to the people?
He's the only man in the entire world that's less over than Roman Reigns.
By the way, go to Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and vote in the poll. Whose fans hate them more, Roman Reigns or Roger Goodell? The poll's now up at twitter.com/WildTalkRadio.
Oh my God, we're horrible, awful people.
We are social people.
So, as we wait for the pick to come in for the Buffalo Bills, you want to run down the picks?
Alright, let's gear up and let's put the music back on in the background. The extended picks bed. It's the NFL music. It's the NFL draft. And there's been a lot of picks made. We're, what, halfway through the first round?
Just about.
And this will give me a chance to actually find the full. There we go. There's the full order. The number one pick in the NFL draft was Jared Goff. He went to the LA Rams. The Eagles select Carson Wentz. Joey Bosa went to the Chargers. Ezekiel Elliott went to the Cowboys. Jalen Ramsey went to the Jaguars. Ronnie Stanley went to the Ravens. DeForest Buckner went to the 49ers. The Titans traded up and got the pick from the Browns, who got it from the Eagles, and took Jack Coughlin for an offensive tackle. Leonard Floyd went to the Bears from the Buccaneers draft pick. Eli Apple went to the New York Football Giants. The Buccaneers took Vernon Hargraves. The Saints took Sheldon Rankins. Laramie Tunsil went to the Dolphins. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
Carl Joseph went to the Raiders. Corey Coleman looks so thrilled to go to the Cleveland Browns. The Lions.
Looked like he was about to cry.
Yeah.
Not happy tears.
Taylor Decker went to the Lions. And Keanu Neal, I think that's how you say it, went to the Falcons.
Yes. And, well, now the Colts are picking. I thought it was Buffalo next, but I guess it's the Colts.
The Colts look the same. The Colts pick is in. We'll tell you who it is, and then we'll talk about the thing that happened. And the Colts select
Ryan Kelly, a center from Alabama, and he's not there. He's getting the call on his cell phone. Congratulations, Ryan Kelly, you're a Colt.
He's so excited. He's wearing the blue and white, conveniently enough.
You know, honestly, for the first round, I think everybody just kind of gets called, like, before they're going to do it. And they're like, everybody's got it all worked out. I swear to God, it's just like, yeah, so we're going to pick you here, and...
No, it's not like that at all. It's really not. You would think it is, but it's not. It's not even close to that. But, go on.
I think it's actually against the rules for them to communicate with the players, isn't it?
I don't know.
Aside from sending them playbooks.
No, I don't. You're not allowed to send them playbooks until afterwards. But I don't know. Well, someone knows. They'll tweet us. The Bills are on the clock now.
Okay, so the Bills are on the clock. So while the Bills are on the clock, we need to talk about the scandal that happened during the NFL draft. Because nothing's complete without a little drama.
So tell them what happened.
What's the dude's name? Lamar?
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil. Oh, Laramie Tunsil, you lucky, lucky man, you. So, Brock and I are sitting here, we're watching the draft, we're talking, and all of a sudden this news breaks during the draft, and it's something that Laramie Tunsil tweets, and it's of him in a gas mask with a bong strapped to it, and he's hitting the bong hard. Okay, now mind you, this video got posted and it got deleted in, like, what, 2 seconds?
It was posted, like, 10 minutes before the draft and was immediately pulled down.
So somebody close to him put this up. And at one point in the video, he takes the mask off and you can very clearly see it's him if you watch the full video. But yeah, so the video got pulled down, but needless to say, the media got a hold of it. Some people have been reposting the video because some people actually were able to either grab screenshots or the full video itself.
Yes.
And there's speculation as to whom actually posted the video. But needless to say, when this broke, it was not good news for Laramie. The NFL quickly did major, and I mean major, damage control.
They had his coach from Ole Miss come on the television and sort of, yeah, he's a good guy, very good guy, very good guy. It's an old video, he's a good guy. And then he comes out and says, I'm blessed. Was that you in the video? I'm blessed.
Yeah. It's because almost immediately after that, he gets picked by the Dolphins. So he went at number 13, 14?
13.
Lucky number 13. But yeah, I read it. He cost himself some serious money with that video, and I would not be the least bit surprised if somebody doesn't get a drug test tomorrow. Or even tonight.
The ink won't be, will have to be dry on the contract, and then bam, we're going into random drug testing because, your video was out there in the public. And yeah.
Yeah, so definitely not a good thing for, old Laramie there, but the pick is in for Buffalo as we're at commercial, so we'll have to wait to come back. But it's kind of been an interesting draft so far.
It has. The first two picks went as expected. The Eagles got their quarterback. The Cowboys got a running back. Now they have three in the backfield. Makes you wonder what's up there. I know King Kins is thrilled for the pick, because he is a Cowboys fan. And spoiler alert, there are tweets coming up about the pick in Tweet of the Week.
Because you have to take a shot.
I'm taking shots. Don't you worry. Shots will be fired tonight.
So as we wait for the Buffalo Bills to make their selection in the 19th pick of the NFL draft, we're going to jump into a little bit of news brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Gerwick.net once again, because why not? Just shill them for the sake of shilling.
Why not?
I mean, hell, we can.
We can, because that's what we do.
And we have to talk about really the biggest breaking WWE news of the week. We will get to Eric Young. I promise you we're going to talk about all about him.
We're going to talk about him in our NXT segment.
Yes, in our NXT segment. So we're saving Eric Young. But the biggest news other than Eric Young is that Rich Brennan was released from WWE. Damn it, Omega. That's a hashtag blame Omega, because he's the one that we blame with people.
No, it's me.
Oh, it's you? Damn it, Rock. Blame Rock.
Yeah, hashtag blame Rock. I get the people get fired.
Okay, and just to update, Buffalo takes Shaq Lawson, defensive end from Clemson. So there's really no information on the release, I think. I'm not sure if he asked for it or if they just fired him.
He had no role. Once they hired Mauro Ranallo and he took over SmackDown and Tom Phillips took over NXT, Rich Brennan became a backstage announcer. And he probably was not happy with the gig. I think he came in to be the play-by-play guy. And yeah, he got demoted to being a backstage interviewer. And you know, his last WWE project was him talking to Becky Lynch about her salad.
Yeah, I mean, he did kind of get screwed a little bit when they brought in Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah, I didn't mind Rich Brennan. I thought he was actually a decent announcer. But they brought in Ranallo, and they put Tom Phillips back in the booth, which has been a great improvement for NXT.
Oh, God, yes.
Because him and Corey Graves are great together. Not to say Brennan on NXT wasn't good, but the combination of Corey Graves and Tom Phillips has been really good on NXT the last few weeks. So
yeah, Tom Phillips and Graves just have that chemistry together that's perfect for NXT. And really, for the main roster, too, if you brought them up together and you had them do commentary together. But yeah, they play very well off each other. It makes the commentary fun on NXT.
Which we'll talk about in a little while during NXT.
So fare thee well, Rich Brennan. Best of luck in your future endeavors. Thanks for all the cheese. That's what Conor McGregor says, right? Thanks for all the cheese.
Yes, because that worked out for him.
It so worked out for him. Oh, Conor, you shot yourself in the foot.
Big time.
The other big news of the week is that, well, Ric Flair. Oh, Flair.
Ric Flair styled and profiled all night long. No.
Ric Flair had some issues this week, whether it was telling Natty to kill herself on the SmackDown broadcast, to having problems at the Boston airport where he was. There are a myriad of reports as to what was actually going on. It ranges from Flair was detained by police to Flair tripped over his bag and he cut his hand. And he was not intoxicated. The truth is somewhere in between that very broad range. Some people are saying that he wasn't intoxicated. Some people are saying that he was. Some people are saying it was his hand that was cut. Other people are saying it's his head. Nobody's really sure what the actual story is.
There are pictures of him at the airport bar. Yeah.
There are pictures of the police with Flair. By all indications, Flair was treated. He did get injured. The general story that lines up is that Flair tripped over his bag. He got hurt at the airport. they came to check on him, and Flair was cleaned up. He was allowed to get on his plane, and he went home.
Well, he did not get. He did not get. He missed the first flight, but he got on the second flight.
Yeah,
that's sort of how it went. There, it was just a bad night for Ric Flair, or a bad morning rather for Ric Flair. And yeah, the real story will come out at some point. There's so many conflicting reports, as she mentioned, so you never know. But there's probably a middle ground. He probably was drinking. Probably got hurt. But, you know, he's Ric Flair. It's what he does. You don't expect anything less.
Yeah. I mean, he was styling, he was profiling, he was having a good time, and he just got a little carried away. It's Ric Flair. That's what he does.
I like how his agent had to come out and basically say, yeah, even though him and his buddies have been doing the thing in the bars since the 70s, he was not drinking. They had to make that clear. Though, was in the bar. You know, that's beside the point.
How sad is it that we all just, you know, assume, oh, it's Ric Flair, so he was completely plastered? Like, how sad is that? That's just the automatic leap that everybody makes about Ric Flair is just, oh, he was in a bar, oh yeah, he was completely wasted.
Because it's a reputation. It's what happens.
Oh yeah, I know. His reputation precedes him in a lot of ways, and it's like, oh yeah, it's Ric Flair. Yeah, he was wasted. He was so wasted. It's just, it's really, really, really sad that, you know, that's what we think of Ric Flair is, yeah, he's just a drunk. That's all we think of him. That's an awful, awful thing to say and think, but it's sadly true.
He's a self-admitted party animal, even in his 60s.
Is he only in his 60s? I thought he was at least 70.
Ric Flair is 67.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Rick. I thought he was in his 70s. I really did. I thought he and Vince were the same age.
No, they're not. No, Ric Flair is younger than Vince McMahon.
By 3 years? 2 years? Something like that?
Vince McMahon. Because
Vince is 70.
Vince is 70, so 3 years.
Yeah. I know Vince is 70. God, how scary is that?
Uh-huh.
Vince McMahon's 70 years old. Jesus.
Yeah.
The Jets kind of need to make a pick. They're running out of time.
Well, they'll take it to a limit. And, hey, they could take a quarterback. Which, if they do, we'll have a tidbit on the quarterback. But, yeah, so it was a long day for Ric Flair. It's been a long month, apparently, for Ric Flair.
Yeah, he hasn't been having a good month at all. So, Godspeed, Rick. Hope you feel better for your hand or your head or both or whatever happened there. I don't know.
Go take a nap.
Go take a nap, man. And speaking of taking a nap, I think somebody needs to take off, but because we have Blame Brents.
All right, here we go.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So where do you want to begin?
Brent, you know, when we prepped this show last night, there were only two, they were relatively minor, and then what happens tonight? You know, you've been calling your shot, you're saying you're going to hurt Boo Boo again, you've been saying that you're going to hurt Eric, which, by the way, if you hurt either of them, I'm making a road trip. I have to get my tire fixed first, but then I'm making a road trip.
Now we know how he got it. He put the thing in your tire because, you know...
He put a nail in my tire!
He did. He didn't want you to come and get him.
He blame Brented my car!
That jerk.
You jerk! I want the 30 minutes back it took me to change that tire today! Bastard! God.
So, with that, the first Blame Brent of the night...
Hashtag Blame Brent.
Lindsay's tire.
Didn't you have, like, a popping sound instead of a bone?
I don't have the... I have one sounder. God.
Oh, wait, okay. The pick is in for the Jets! Who did the Jets take? And... I should probably have the sound on, because, you know, it takes them... Darren Lee! Offensive linebacker for Ohio State.
Outside linebacker.
Outside linebacker. I'm kind of getting the positions right.
Apparently, the report is not... They've pulled the report, maybe? I don't know. I just looked at something. Anyway, I'm going to continue to dig. But let's get through the actual blame brands.
Okay.
First up is Matanza from Lucha Underground. He sliced up his arm by pulling a Goldberg and not hitting the fake window, and needed 5 stitches on his arm, and popped the vein in his arm, which a lot of blood was spilled, so there's your first.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Angelico injured himself at a Lucha Underground taping as well.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Y'all be careful now. Don't be punching windows. It's not good for you.
It's not good for you. And there's a story going around. It's a very possible story where Bailey got injured tonight. She apparently landed behind Nia Jax. Her leg buckled and she went into the corner. They did the splash and leg drop finish for the match. And then she was in a lot of pain as she was being helped to the back. So that's a very possible...
Hashtag blame Brent.
Really, Brent? I mean, really, Bailey? Really? Really? Dude, not cool. We need her, okay? She's the NXT savior. One of them. We need her.
So there's conflicting reports, but by all accounts, we've seen pictures that were checking on her. So we'll see what's true in the coming days ahead. But that is a very possible...
Hashtag blame Brent.
But in happy news, we have some blame Brents that are coming back. John Cena took to Twitter to announce that he will be returning Memorial Day weekend. He also had a little fun with turning heel.
Which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show.
In Tweet of the Week. And also an update on Bray Wyatt. Looks like he's going to be out a month to 6 weeks total. It seems like it's a... medium strain. Nothing is torn. He does not need surgery. His ETA is end of May, beginning of June, right around the same time as Cena.
Yes, and we know one person who is very happy that John Cena is coming back, and that's Paul Heyman.
Bless Paul Heyman.
Exactly. But yeah, Cena's coming back on Monday Night Raw, and Bray Wyatt it should be returning in the next few weeks. He teased a return on Twitter as well.
Yes, except he was slightly more cryptic, just slightly more than John Cena, because, you know.
And coming soon to the WWE Network, on the Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness, Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family this Monday night.
I can't wait. I seriously can't wait. You're going to hear me squee about it on the Raw Post show, and probably on this show, too. Just
most likely on this show, because by that point, you'll see it.
Yeah, because by that point, I will have actually seen it.
Yeah. So those are the returning Lane Brents, because, you know, he decides to, you know, injure some people. But we have one other final story. WWE Studios and Wesley Snipes production company have signed a multi-film deal with the aim of developing and producing elevated branded content. According to companies, the first pick under the deal is the recently revealed Temple, which stars Snipes and including Seth Rollins. By the way, for Seth Rollins, once he's done filming, could be on his way back to WWE. Just so people are aware on that one.
I was gonna say he's got to be close to coming back too.
Yeah, so once the filming is done, I would assume he'll be getting back in shape and getting hitting the ring. So we should be about 2 months away from Seth Rollins returning to WWE as well.
Thank God I have missed his cackle.
I know you have.
You know, no, you don't appreciate Seth Rollins until he's not there.
Oh, I know. He's sorely been missed.
Yeah, and I appreciate Seth Rollins when he was there, but it's just like you miss just that whiny, slimy heel because nobody does it better right now than Seth Rollins.
This is very true.
Nobody.
Very true. Oh, by the way, this is just for an update on everyone. If you like mock drafts, go to wildtalkradio.com and read my mock draft of WWE. Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
But it's cool that Rollins is doing a movie and Snipes has signed a deal, so it looks like we're going to get a slightly better WWE Studios film.
It's Wesley Snipes. Do you really think it will be?
I can hope.
It's more action in the same genre. It's not going to be comedies, which they need to do.
Oh, God, I wish... I want a rom-com! Where is my rom-com? Damn it! You're trying to appeal to female audiences. I want my rom-com, I want my beefcake calendar, and I want my Bailey Barbie doll. Where are they? And you know what? While we're making Barbie dolls, Sasha Banks. Where are they? Mattel, get on that crap. Get on it!
And yeah, she may be injured is the latest update. Maybe.
Yeah, there is no confirmation on whether she's actually injured or if this is all part of the storyline, but it is a possible... blame Brent.
Right, because apparently some of the medical personnel that came out were developmental talent, so it's possible it is a work.
But yes, if it's not, Brent, you are the reason we cannot have nice things.
Yes. Hashtag blame Lindsay for rom-coms, apparently.
Good rom-coms.
And before we go to break, we're waiting for Roger Goodell to walk down the aisle, style, profile, and get booed, maybe.
God, Goodell, you're taking forever!
We want to get a break, you know. We gotta
walk faster.
Here it comes. You hear the boos in the background. You know when he's coming out when they start to boo. Texans have picked...
They've selected Will Fuller of Notre Dame, a wide receiver. So, all right. Welcome to the NFL, Will Fuller. And with that, we're going to head to break. So, when we come back, we are going to be talking all things NXT. And believe me, it's been an exciting week for NXT. So, you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a fine hello over to the folks over at Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for listening to us there. And at RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. If you're just joining us, you missed our news segment. And, well, tonight is draft night. And since it's still ongoing, we're going to be breaking in with updates. Like right now, Washington is picking and the pick is in, but we're at commercial, so we don't know who they're taking. But if you want to hear our analysis of the NFL draft, tune in the next few days when the archive is posted. But we have a lot more to get into. We have NXT, and later in the show, we have Evan Michael Lee from Camp WWE.
Plus, we're talking WWE Payback as well. So much still to come. But let's get into the breaking news here today. This is a spoiler alert, kind of, but WWE broke the story. Former heavyweight champion Eric Young made an appearance tonight at the NXT TV tapings, which means Eric Young is a part of the WWE NXT roster.
That is insanity.
Like, okay, Bobby Roode shows up. That's weird and strange and oh my god. Now Eric Young is, he actually walked to the ring, had a new Titantron for him. So weird, so strange. And it's kind of awesome at the same time.
It is, it's weird and it's awesome and it's a lot of different things. I'm really happy for EY. He definitely deserves it. I'm really looking forward to what he brings to NXT. They're doing a really nice job of replenishing the roster from some of the talent that is headed up, like Sami Zayn, like Kevin Owens, those people that they're now losing to the main roster, and they're bringing in more experienced, more well-established talent to kind of help backfill, to give the star power to NXT that it needs, while also bringing up younger talent as well.
Like Hunter tweeted, the new era of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what they're starting right now, because after WrestleMania, we're really building what's going to be going to carry the brand for a little while, at least, right now. So Eric Young is there. It's going to be weird seeing him on TV. I think he starts next week. I think that's how it works. Yeah, because they only take 3 weeks, and this was week three at the convention center. So next week, Eric Young will be on the show, so we'll talk all about his debut next week. After we see it, the Redskins have made their selection before we get into the matches that happened on tonight's NXT.
Yes. Oh, and well, the Redskins have taken Josh Doctson, a wide receiver from TCU.
Right. Hey! We're getting a run on wide receivers at this point, so there you go.
Well, I don't think there were a lot of quarterbacks.
Not in the first round, no. There's probably one more quarterback left to be taken in the first round, possibly. Possibly. So we'll keep an eye on it, and if we're still in the air, we'll break the news to you. So tonight's episode of NXT started with Eva Marie taking on Asuka. And I gotta say, Corey Graves is in love with him, with Eva. He sounds like Kane Kinnens all the time.
Yeah, he's all about that all red everything. They may have to duke it out over her. I will say this was a decent performance from Eva, but this was probably not one of the best matches I've ever seen in NXT. Eva, honey, pull. When you got somebody in a submission hold like that, pull. Harder.
Yank on it. Harder and harder and harder. And that could come out really, really wrong.
Especially, you know, if you're thinking about Brent and Eva, but, you know.
You know, but we're not going there. Not going there. But
although, I bet he'd really like her to go harder and harder and harder.
She showed some great facial reactions, which were a weak point for her early on.
Oh yeah, her selling has improved immensely. I mean, this was a fine performance. Eva continues to improve, but it's baby steps for her at this point. And it's just, it's the fine tuning. It's the little things of when you've got somebody in a stretch submission of putting that little just extra tension on them to make it look like you're actually stretching them as opposed to just kind of holding them there, because you had Asuka doing a really good job of selling it, but Eva's just not really doing a good job of making it look like it hurts, if that makes sense. She just, when she's got her, I think, in the arm, the shoulder stretch, I don't know what else to call it, she's just kind of holding Asuka there.
Right.
And sitting on her, where it's like, and she's kind of moving her around a little bit as Asuka's struggling, but it's like, dude, just pull a little bit more. Just put a little bit more tension on it. Like, I get you're trying to be careful and you're not trying to hurt her, but it just pull.
We actually had a legit "Let's go, Eva. Eva sucks" chant.
Yeah.
Nia Jax came down to ringside to help out Eva Marie. Eva was working over Asuka, as she just mentioned. Asuka made her comeback, hit the spin kick for the win. It was not Asuka's best match. It was not Eva's worst match, and it definitely was not the worst finish to any match on television this week. That goes to Shelly Martinez and Rebel from TNA's Knockout pay-per-view, which was just a thing, where she tried to sort of dove through a rope and really didn't dive through a rope and just hung there.
Made it halfway.
I don't think she even made it halfway. That was just bad. That was the worst finish of the week. After the match, we had the Asuka-Nia stare down. Asuka teased the kick, and Nia didn't seem scared of Asuka.
She didn't seem scared of Asuka. I would be curious to see that feud between Nia and Asuka. I think it could be an interesting one.
Yeah. We had highlights from Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe from the Mayhem in Massachusetts, as they're titling it, where Samoa Joe won the NXT Championship. It was a nice little match of the highlights they showed. Crowd popped huge for Samoa Joe winning, and now we can officially say Samoa Joe is the NXT champion. That's a bombshell on its own.
I love that they did this at a house show. I love that they added that unpredictability to NXT where it's like, well, anything can happen. You know, the titles can change hands. People can show up. People can leave. You know, you never know what's going to happen at a live event or at a pay-per-view or at any kind of show. So I like that they put that unpredictability in. And just the pop that Joe got. Holy crap!
Oh, I know. And now for the next year, people will be like, possibly there could be a title change when I go to an NXT live event. It's just...
Yeah.
It works.
You just don't know, but yes, this is being taken as the send-off for Finn Balor.
He was at the tapings tonight, and he went in front of the crowd, so I don't know if it's full tape,
Let me finish.
No, I want to Kanye West you. I'm not going to let you finish.
Okay, so, you know, you did it best, but whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Anyway.
So this is being taken as Balor's send-off, but... You know, we all know Balor. We all know how much he loves to troll people. So he's been saying, oh yeah, I'm going to be at Raw. Oh no, I'm not going to be at Raw. You know, and he was at the NXT tapings tonight. He went out in front of the crowd. He's doing, spoiler alert, versus Shockface. He's doing his rematch with Joe at the next NXT takeover. And that will probably be the final send-off.
Spoiler alert!
Sorry.
There's the sound. I had to pull it up.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Finn Balor is definitely on his way up to WWE. There's possibility he may show up at Payback. He may show up any time now. We don't know. And that's the awesome thing. But Balor's on his way!
And Samoa Joe basically said Balor barely survived before, but tonight he didn't. We had the Revival taking on Parker and Lee. I first thought it said Harper and Lee, but it was Parker and Lee, and it was a total destruction from the Revival on Parker Lee. The crowd was chanting defense, which made me laugh. It was just a destruction of Parker Lee by the Revival. That's all it was.
Yeah.
They talked about they are the best tag team on the planet. They say they need the belts back. They are putting every tag team on notice. They won't stop until they get what completes them. We had the Hype Bros and Blake and Murphy taking on Blake and Murphy. There was no evil Sparkle Fairy.
It's kind of interesting. I think they're maybe starting to split them up just a little bit. But we're gonna take a pause because there's the chorus of boos, the one happy Vikings fan as Roger Goodell comes out and he announces that in the 2016 draft, the Vikings have selected the guy in the pimpin' jacket, Laquon Treadwell, a wide receiver from Ole Miss.
So there you go.
And his daughter looks so cute. At least I think that's his daughter.
Not gonna.
She's cute. The little girl, whether she's his daughter or not, is cute. So there.
I'm not disagreeing with that point. I just had a... Anyway, moving on. The fans chanted, Where's Alexa? Back, both back and forth action early on. Blake and Murphy spent time working on Ryder. Mojo got the hot tag, but the crowd didn't care. Hype Ryder for the win. Hype Bros. After the match, the Revival attacked the Hype Bros from behind.
Not nice.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Carmella took on Aaliyah. She was on Breaking Ground. A solid matchup. Nice leg drop by Aaliyah on Carmella from the middle rope. Superkick, Bronco Buster, head scissors submission for the win. Carmella.
Go Carmella, go. I like how they're building Carmella up. They're making her stronger. I feel like Carmella's going to kind of take the reins from Bayley once Bayley goes up.
The Drifter said Regal last week misinterpreted his words, but he will correct that soon enough. Nakamura should never drifted in NXT, which led us to Nakamura and the Drifter, and I'll just let you talk about this one.
You're just going to let me talk about this one?
Yeah, I'll let you talk first.
What do you want me to say?
How awesome Nakamura was.
Oh, Nakamura is fabulous. I love Nakamura so much. He's just so flamboyant. I want to call him the Japanese Shawn Michaels. I really do.
It's a good way to describe him.
Because he is. He's just so flamboyant. And just it gives me life that he walks out and he grooves to his own music. Like, he likes it that much that he's just out there dancing to it. You know? It's awesome. The match was okay. The match was fine. It was what it was, but I love Nakamura. I love everything about Nakamura. I think he's really cool.
I would agree with you there. Cool match. Drifter tried, but there was a hell of a kick to the back of the head by Shinsuke. Running knee to the ribs with the Drifter on the top row. Big suplex, and then his running kick, I don't know the name of it, for the win. Shinsuke Nakamura.
He continues his winning streak in NXT. So I would say a solid episode of NXT. The big news obviously was that Joe is now your NXT champion, and, well, Eric Young has debuted in NXT with, I would bet, Bobby Roode not far behind him.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the Eric Young debut next week on the NXT report.
Yes, because he debuts next week, right?
I believe that's the plan.
Alrighty, well, on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening. Or, I'm sorry, second break of the evening, not the final break. Second break. My apologies.
Second break, Tweet of the Week, payback next.
Yes, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when CB Radio throws a party.
You guys ready?
We got 21 of these for Will, or is that
the are we going to do the 21 shots for him?
I think 21 guys, gun salute.
So you guys ready?
I'll be giving myself a 21 wink salute.
So didn't need to hear that.
I'm good. I'm good. Okay, note to self, don't shake head. Quick, let's get these shots going.
So at what point are we betting at what shot each just falls out?
I'm not gonna fall out. You also have to remember, I'm Irish.
I only have 78 years.
I got 3 more shots left. So...
No, your 21 should just be one big shot. Just gulp it.
19, 20, and 21. A triple shot.
Wait. So you want me to quadruple shot it because of the fucking good luck shot?
21. No, that's quadruple.
Yeah. Yeah, quadruple shot it.
Oh my god. That was a lot of fucking alcohol. I made it to the 20... fucking one gun salute with the one for good luck.
How many people did I get wasted tonight?
Oh, there's
another one.
There's your horse, Your Honor. Only turned 21, pal.
Keep in mind, Will, this is all for you.
Well, Jabber almost fell down his steps, so...
Only the landing. I got down all the steps you see, but the landing confused me. Because it has that turn.
This is
how we party on TV radio.
Sick.
That was Jobber. Rob, that was Jobber who just threw. That was Jobber.
Oh, even worse.
Ew, the Bonder looks disgusting.
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You show me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo, please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, as well as a fine hello to the folks over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. If you're just joining us, you missed our NFL draft segment. We're going to be bursting through all night with the draft picks. Like right now, Pittsburgh has picked Artie Burns, so congratulations to him. And, well, we also were talking all about NXT, including Eric Young's surprise arrival. But now we're going to do a little Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
And one pick we missed, William Jackson III. He went to the Bengals.
And now, with the last pick, I think, of the first round.
No, we still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 more to go.
Denver should be last, though.
They traded Seattle for this pick.
Seattle must not want anybody. They're trading down.
No, they're trading up to get the pick.
No, but Seattle traded down.
I guess they figure they can get someone better in the second round.
I don't know, but Denver's picking. They're still on the clock.
So we'll break it to you here in a bit, but let's do Tweet of the Week.
Let's do Tweet of the Week. So, these are all Kevin Owens. Michael tweets Kevin Owens, and he says, "Serious is serious. It's high time somebody brought back the abdominal stretch, and you're just the man to do it." Kevin Owens replies, "Well, Big E has dibs on the ab stretch, as well as hypnotizing gyrations, humping the ground, and psychotic stare." I don't know, I think Bray Wyatt will fight him for the psychotic stare. This week on Main Event, see me take on Jack Swagger in the main event, on Main Event, in the main event, on Hulu. Main Event.
Main Event?
Main Event.
Main Event.
Cody Kovic tweets Kevin Owens and goes, "Made my pro wrestling debut in East Shroudsburg, Pennsylvania on April 22nd, 2016. And he's wearing a t-shirt and shorts, to which Kevin Owens replies, "You'll never get anywhere in shorts and a t-shirt." And finally, Russell Wheatley tweets Kevin Owens and goes, Dash and Dawson are awesome, and Scott is developing some Kevin Owens level bite to his comebacks. And Kevin Owens responds, blocked for suggesting something so preposterous. And that's all I got.
That's all you got. Let's see. Richard Trianto, or Trianfo. In honor of Passover, the four questions of WWE. One, on most nights, the crowd is silent for the Usos, but on this night, it is quieter. Number two, on most nights, we get only one McMahon to make us hate the first hour. On this night, we get two. Number three, on most nights, we only get the New Day with Bootios. On this night, we can also get the Social Outcast. And number four, on most nights, we only eat one bowl of Bootios, but on this night, we eat two bowls. Hashtag Passover Raw.
Well done.
Paige, putting people in submissions on the announce table is my gimmick at I Am Jericho. It's whatevs. Hashtag Raw. He replies, please, child, go back and watch the greatest match in WWE Raw history. May 21st, 2001, when I tore Triple H's quad on that table. Well, Hunter tore his quad first, but, you know, whatever, tells a good story. Three-man booth, it's confirmed. Sadly, Maurice is not in the swinging. What Jerry Lawler would have said.
It's the truth.
It is the truth. Scott Fishman, yes, we needed to see another round of Ryback vs. Kalisto, said nobody ever. Hashtag Raw. Not SportsCenter. Clippers injury report. Chris Paul out. Hand. Lake Griffin out. Quad. Clippers fans. Blacked out. Whiskey. John Cena, okay, interweb. Ponder this. I was hurt. Upon return to WWE, I'll be healthy. So, WWE Universe, does that mean I finally turned heel? H-E-A-L.
Oh, Cena.
Alright, we'll get back to these. Let's see. Cody Rhodes, so hypothetically, who amongst you would be interested in listening to a non-wrestling theme park podcast with Zack Ryder and I as host? Eden goes, me and Emma have been kicked off said show and are going our own way. Tanel tastes Brandy's bait. Someone, David Stassen, spilled a tiny drop of coffee on my sweatshirt today, and all the jackals I work with think it calls for a goddamn comedy roast. Mindy Kaling goes, it was a huge stain. It looked like jizz, and it was hilarious.
Oh, and the pig is in for the Broncos. There's a dorky kid on stage.
He has a challenging medical condition.
I am so sorry.
You feel bad now, don't you?
I feel really bad now. Well, it's the bow tie! It's the bow tie. And the suit.
We get the standing ovation. Shinsuke Nakamura gets the shoulders of the Drifter down to keep his winning streak alive at I Am Samson WWE. Samson replies, delete this tweet. Shinsuke Nakamura, slow your roll, man. Please sing us a song. He replies, hashtag King of Song Style versus hashtag King of Strong Style will happen again. And I'll have a song just for you. Shinsuke replies, give me by MP3.
Oh. And Denver takes a quarterback.
Well, I've got some bad news for you, Sam Bradford. You're not going to Denver. Now, Paxton Lynch, here's the tidbit. His father was roommates with The Undertaker.
I want the stories! I want the stories so bad.
To follow... Go ahead.
Because I bet there are some badass college stories for The Undertaker.
There probably is. Ada English said about the podcast, I would listen, participate, promote, produce, etc., etc. People are excited. John Cannon, tonight begins the Jared Goff era, aka I hope he doesn't suck and get injured as much as Bradford era. Should use acronyms. Hashtag NFL Draft. Breaking, for the fake ESPN breaking, the Browns' top 2016 draft pick has already been considered a bust. Roger Goodell, tonight is the first round of the NFL draft where 32 dreams will come true. Wait, 31 dreams. Sorry, New England. Too soon? Not SportsCenter. Report, Ezekiel Elliott now has a warrant out for his arrest, charged with becoming a Dallas Cowboy, which makes him an automatic felon. Fake SportsCenter, Ezekiel Elliott is a prize pick for the Cowboys. He's never been arrested. Hashtag NFL Draft Day 2016. Fake ESPN, I look forward to a future life of crime in Dallas, said Ezekiel Elliott.
Holy crap, Lynch has cannon for an arm.
He does. Fake SportsCenter, breaking, Laramie Tunsil has been drafted by the Jamaican National Football Team. Hashtag NFL Draft. Fake ESPN. Damn, I'm going to the Cleveland. I'm going to Cleveland. FML, says Corey Coleman. Frank Caliendo. Everyone, please keep Corey Coleman in your thoughts tonight. He's a Brown. Now, we for the first time in the history of Tweet of the Week, we have audio to go along before tweets. So take a listen to audio for Tweet of the Week.
Pro wrestler Roman Reigns, who sounds like a Pompeian porn star, is also wrestling with his pants passed. An old picture of him wearing these wonderfully hideous jeans resurfaced on the internet. And of course, the internet handled it with the tact you might expect. Like this comment, lost custody of your kids' denim. Or, y'all leave Roman Bud Light in a bottle, denim pants reigns alone. Or, this is really mean, you guys. Step off a little bit. I mean, everyone had a pair of those True Religion jeans with the wide stitching in 2003, and some people hung on to them. What's the problem? Yes. Well, the big buttons and the Buddha on the back, it was fine. 2003, it was a good time. Yeah. All right, anyway, Roman's having a tough time lately, so comedians, let's cheer him up and say something nice about his stupid jeans. Tim Simons.
You can wear them anywhere. You can wear them to the Smash Mouth concert, to an Entourage fan convention. You can wear them to the courthouse when you have to register as a sex offender.
Those jeans really bring out your unfurnished apartment. Weird. He's like, wait. I just bought this house and these jeans.
And I'm sitting here waiting for a delivery of furniture and more jeans. Tony.
My thing is, if you feel good, wear them. You just don't look like you feel good. You look constipated.
A little constipated. A little constipated.
Doesn't that last comment sum up Roman Reigns to a T? Just a little bit, maybe. Anyway. I'll wait for her to reply at some point.
So, let me take myself off mute because I muted for that. No, I asked, so does Roman Reigns look constipated? Is that the concern?
I think so. I think that's the problem. Anyway, someone named Nah, you good? Goes, hi. There's a picture of Roman Reigns with the WWE title. Hi, I'm WWE Champion Roman Reigns, and I have DirecTV. And then it's the box picture. And I'm U-shaped jeans, only Roman Reigns, and I have cable. And then the one more picture, I'm not a nice boy. I'm not a bad boy. I'm a bugle boy. And then Roman Usos tweeted, some guys like looking at other guys' jeans. And Roman goes, I know, strange. Guess we're too busy having fun in the real world. Hashtag internet guys like looking at my daddy jeans.
Okay, that was good.
This is a nice reply, but, you know, it's just, yeah. Poor Roman Reigns. We even pick on his jeans.
I just want to... Okay, I'll let you finish and then...
No, I'm done. Oh, now you're going to kind of, you know, you're going to try to kind
of... No, I was actually going to be polite and let you finish before I went off.
Go ahead, I'm done. That was Tweet of the Week.
Okay, y'all. All right, enough. I get it. You don't like Roman Reigns. You're not feeling him. I can respect that. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a right to their opinion. But really? Really? You've run out of crap to pick on him for, and so you're going after his pants?
Yes.
Like, do y'all not have real lives? You know, where you go and do other things, you get off the internet, you maybe go to work, you maybe have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something in between. You gotta pick on the man's pants because you're literally, you have nothing else to do. Okay.
But I do like that it made the At Midnight show on Comedy Central. That was great.
Oh, it made a lot of places.
I know.
It's the stupidity of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It really is. It really is. But with that, I say we jump into WWE Payback, which airs live this Sunday on the WWE Network.
Agreed! We're getting, again, for some unknown reason, we're getting Ryback versus Kalisto for the U.S. Championship on the pre-show.
Yeah, we are. As I mentioned in the tweets, did anyone really, really want to see this matchup again? But we are seeing this matchup again. And that's sort of where we stand. The setup is because Ryback beat Kalisto on SmackDown. So he thinks he gets title shot. And that's what he gets. I guess he wins the title. I think he wins the title. I guess I'm going to go with Ryback. Because why are they doing the match if he's not going to get the title? Because they don't want to push Kalisto.
Why don't they want to push Kalisto?
I don't know. They have not made him a credible champion at all.
And they could have. Like, that's the thing. They really could have made him a credible champion. And they didn't. This is ridiculous. And we all know what's going to happen. At least we all think we know what's going to happen. Oh, wait. Pick us in for Green Bay. Who are the Packers taking? Who are the Packers taking? Oh, the Packers fans showed up. They drove down.
Well, it's not that far for them. The Packers end up taking...
a defensive tackle. Kenny Clark from UCLA.
Okay. Maddie, I know you're in the chat room. I need your help, buddy. Did the dude who couldn't cook get drafted yet? I forgot his name. Do you remember, Maddie? Let me know. Anyway. Continue.
There's a dude that couldn't cook?
Yeah, there was a dude who couldn't cook, and they were making a big fuss about him today that he couldn't cook. I forgot the name of him. I want to see if Matt remembers.
He's an NFL player?
He was a college guy who was going to be drafted. Okay. I think he was from Georgia. I think he was. No, he wasn't from Georgia. He was the dude Atlanta interviewed and asked if he was gay or not. I think that was the player. I think.
Totally. Eli Apple.
Was it Eli Apple?
Eli Apple.
Oh, Eli, okay. It was Eli Apple? Okay. So yeah. He did get drafted. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was the big story today that he couldn't cook.
Okay, well, he's going to the NFL. He can pay someone to cook for
that
him.
That was everyone's response, yeah. Eli Apple. All right, there we go. So, anyway, back to the match at hand. Who you got?
As much as I hate to say this, because I really do like Kalisto, I have a feeling they're going to put the title on Ryback, and they're going to put the Lucha Dragons back into the tag title division. Because they're trying to rebuild the tag division, and it makes no sense to have Kalisto with the U.S. title if they're going to put him and Sin Cara back together.
Very valid point. So, you're taking Ryback, I'm taking Ryback, the 8-Ball is taking Ryback, and new for this week's show, we have the 2K Sims, which you can watch at youtube.com/rockradioshow. The 2K Sim picked Ryback over Kalisto.
It's official, and that hurt to pick Ryback, by the way.
I hated picking Ryback because I don't like the Ryback.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of the Ryback.
So, but it's just the writing's on the wall on that one. So, what's next?
I don't know what's next.
Oh, I thought you had the card.
All right. No, I just know the first match.
All right.
I'm so professional, aren't I, y'all?
I know. Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, or Big Cass as he's now known, taking on the Vaude Villains for the number one contendership for the tag team championship. They've done a pretty solid job building up this matchup. They did the Budios tournament, and the two teams have trash talk on Raw and SmackDown leading up to the show. I like the build. It's solid. Very, very solid build. And it should be a fun match between the two teams. I'm really torn on this one. Really am.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
Because on one hand, you want to see Enzo and Cass win. You really want to see them win. But if they beat the Vaude Villains, it sort of screws up the Vaude Villains' momentum, and they're the heels, and the New Day are the baby faces. So it's sort of like, oh, what do we do? What do you do? Which direction do you go? Do you go with the money match of Enzo and Cass versus the New Day? Or do you put the heels up against the New Day and sort of play off of that? I'm torn. What's your thought process?
I'm really torn on this as well, but I love how they've made the tag titles important. They've done a whole tournament for them. And what's been really nice about this tournament is you looked who was in it, and you know it's like you had the main concerns in this tournament were the Dudleys and really the Usos, because that's the default. They always go to that, and you're just sitting there going, oh God, please don't do what I think you're going to do. And thankfully they didn't. The Usos and the Dudleys made it to the semifinals, but so did the Vaude Villains and so did Amore and Cassidy. And they put the NXT guys through. We're now going to get the fantastic match between the Vaude Villains and Amore and Cassidy. Trash talking's been great. It's been a lot of fun. That being said, here's my concern.
What's your concern?
Okay, so you put the Vaude Villains as the number one contender.
Yes.
You pretty much have to put the titles on them, because if you don't and they lose to New Day, their momentum's done.
You can also say the same thing about Enzo and Cass.
I think Enzo and Cass have a stronger ability to recover than the Vaude Villains do, because Enzo and Cass are way more over than the Vaude Villains are. So it's something of, you can have Enzo brush it off, and that never say die attitude, and live to fight another day, and we'll be back. We'll come back for that title. You know, we'll still be here. Because, I mean, they went their entire NXT careers without ever holding the tag titles.
Oh, I know. But here's the thing. I wouldn't mind if you put the belts on the Vaude Villains.
I wouldn't mind if you put the belts on the Vaude Villains, because then you could do the money feud of Enzo and Cass versus the Vaude Villains. You could do New Day and Enzo and Cass without the titles.
Or you can have the New Day chase for the belts this time around.
Or you have New Day chase for the belts. You know, there's a myriad of things you could do, but I also really want to see Enzo and Cass win. I really want that match between Enzo and Cass and New Day. It would be entertaining as crap.
Oh, it would be, but I think that's a money match down the line and not for
SummerSlam.
It's more for SummerSlam than Extreme Rules in 3 weeks.
Yeah, so I would say Vaude Villains win.
Because you can also have the Dudleys cost Enzo and Cass the match as well.
Yeah, because I think that's going to be Extreme Rules. Is the Dudleys versus End Zone cast. So
Very much could be.
So yeah, I would say Vaudevillains.
I'm going Vaudevillains as well. Magic 8 Ball goes End Zone cast, and so did WWE 2K16.
Wait, didn't the 49ers just pick?
They may have.
Well, pick is in for the 49ers, and they are taking...
They took the pick earlier in the draft, in the first round.
Are we in the second round?
No, we're still in the first round. They probably had another pick they traded for.
They took Joshua Garnett from Stanford.
Another Pac-12 team?
He's a guard?
Yeah, but Stanford, Pac-12, which is where Oregon was, in the Pac-12. Boy,
really?
Chip, you really... Think outside the box. Really, think outside the box. It was a thing here in Philly, and it's still a thing with the 49ers.
Yeah, but, you know, it's got the whole mental thing that he's trying to go for there to get people behind him.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever you say.
So, up next, we're going to talk about Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin.
They've done a decent job in this. Baron Corbin made his debut, winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and then went on a warpath, destroying Dolph Ziggler the next night on Raw. He's attacked him a couple times from behind. Ziggler got his revenge on Monday Night Raw. It's been a nice little back and forth mini feud between the two. It's, you would think, and talking about momentum like we did in the last match, Corbin has to win this one to start his momentum rather than give Ziggler a win?
I would think that, but not necessarily, because you could have Ziggler get the win and then Corbin wants revenge.
Yeah, I guess, but again, that goes back to the whole 50-50 booking that WWE likes to do, and I don't, if you're trying to build new people, going 50-50 early in the career wouldn't be the smartest move in the book.
Okay, but here's the deal. Okay, Corbin wins. What does he do next?
He goes on and beats up someone next. Someone else.
Boom.
Name a babyface on the roster, Kalisto. I don't know. He can go after someone in the mid-card. There are plenty of guys he can beat up on.
Fair enough.
Because one match will probably be enough between the two. And maybe a rematch on Raw. But the idea is to build Baron Corbin, because Vince likes big guys, and Corbin's a big guy.
Corbin isn't terrible. He's improved a lot since he debuted in NXT. He's tall, he's dark, he's cranky, and he has tattoos. And he has that mystique to him that I think reminds me a lot of Taker.
Mm-hmm.
So he can kind of get away with not saying much because he really does all his talking in the ring.
Yes.
Basically, and this is going to sound horrible, Corbin's kind of doing the same character that Reigns is trying to do. Where he's that mysterious badass. The difference is Corbin can kind of get away with it. Corbin's just a little bit better at it because he's got a slightly different look that works better. At least in my opinion. Because he's also got the facial reactions.
Yeah, and it works for him right now.
Yes.
With that, I'm going Corbin. Who are you going with?
Corbin.
Let's see. 8-Ball goes Dolph Ziggler. And WWE 2K16 says Corbin loses via countout to Dolph Ziggler.
Could be.
So, there you go. On that one. So far, I think the 8-Ball and the WWE 2K16 are pretty much on the same page. So, we'll see if that continues.
We'll see. Up next, we have The Miz taking on Cesaro.
For the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay, I want Cesaro to win. I want that suit to come off, and there's just that title, and it's just pretty, and I want Cesaro to win.
I think this has been a pretty well-built feud between the two. The Miz got the belt the night after WrestleMania, beating Zack Ryder to some people on this network's disappointment. And then Cesaro came back, he's made his comeback, and sort of been in the Miz's face. They've had some verbal battles on SmackDown and on Raw that have been really, really good. I've enjoyed this feud. I've really enjoyed Miz and Maryse as a group.
So happy Maryse is back. I have missed Maryse so much.
I have as well. It's been really cool to see her. And I don't think the Miz loses. I think Cesaro loses and Miz retains the Intercontinental Championship. That's my pick. I'm going Miz. You're going Cesaro?
No. I think I'm going to go Miz. Well, no. I want Cesaro to win, okay? I really want Cesaro to win.
Uh-huh.
But I know WWE. It's going to be Miz. Miz is going to keep the title.
I want to see the It Couple continue on.
Yeah. I mean, basically, if you take the title off of Miz, the gimmick's dead, and you can move Cesaro onto other things. or you can continue on, whichever way you want. I would say either Shenanigans and this and Maurice cost Cesaro, and that's how Miz gets out of it.
It's very, very possible. Magic 8 Ball says, will Cesaro win the Intercontinental Championship? Most likely. While WWE 2K16 says Miz beats Cesaro, so they finally disagree with one another.
Hey!
So there you go. We'll have the Arizona pick here in just a moment. By the way, you are tuned into The Rack Live right here on the Mile Talk Radio Network. Still to come, Camp WWE's Evan Michael Lee will be on the program to talk all things Camp WWE in our final segment as we're continuing on with our payback preview. Remember, go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and post in the group tomorrow your picks and be a part of our pick 'em challenge for bragging rights. What's next?
Oh, by the way, did Tommy ever get you the address?
No, he has not.
Okay, Tommy, we're extending it. You have until tomorrow to get that address to us. Don't have it by tomorrow. The book's going back in the pile, and I will send
Sheila
her book. And the Arizona Cardinals have selected Robert. Oh, Jesus.
Old Miss is really,
Old Miss is cleaning up tonight.
They are. They're the big, big.
Nikimdichi?
Something like that.
A defensive close. Tackle.
Yeah. But yeah, Old Miss is being raided right now, and they're headed to the NFL. So there you go.
Well, that's good for them because they can replenish with fresh talent. So up next, we are going to talk about the ladies. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Charlotte, your champion, with her father, Ric Flair, will be taking on the challenger, Natalya, with Bret Hart in her corner. I just have to say, before we get into the match, that I love how Bret Hart has, like, just gives no fucks. Just doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He wants no part of it. He wants no part of it, but he's doing it for Natty. And then there's the whole Ric Flair thing. But he wants to put Ric Flair in a sharpshooter, but his wrist has just had surgery. So it's like, okay. Anyway, these two girls are could steal the show on Sunday.
I want them to steal the show.
They're going to be put in a position to go probably 15-20 minutes and have a match of a lifetime. If you remember back to TakeOver, not TakeOver. Yeah, it was a TakeOver back in NXT.
It was one of the early TakeOvers.
It may have just been the NXT special. Anyway, I don't even know if it's called TakeOver. But whatever. My point is, they had a great match early on. Put Charlotte on the map. Roadblock, they had a great match that we didn't even think was going to happen on Roadblock. And just sort of happened, which was great. Give these two girls time. They have great chemistry with one another. This should be a fantastic match. I have Charlotte retaining because I don't see them putting the belt on Natty. Because I don't think Natty does anything to elevate the championship. Charlotte, on the other hand, will continue to elevate the women's championship.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love to see Natty win the title, it doesn't make sense to take it off of Charlotte yet, because I don't think Natty's the one that's meant to take it off of Charlotte. I still believe it's either going to be Bayley or Sasha that takes it off of Charlotte. But I think the feud with Natty's been really, really, really fantastic. They've done a wonderful job with it. They've elevated both women. They've elevated the title. It's important. It feels important. Like Rock said, this is going to be a show stealer for sure, because they are going to go out there and they are just going to turn it up. But that being said, Charlotte's going to retain.
Yeah, I'm going with Charlotte. So will the 8 Ball. So will WWE 2K16.
And speaking of show stealers, another show stealer could very well be Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. The Murder Bear, and I don't know what ginger cinnamon roll, because I don't have another way to describe Sami Zayn.
The underdog from the underground.
There we go. The underdog from the underground taking on the Murder Bear.
I love the video package they did on Raw.
Oh, the video package was great.
They tied their history together up so perfectly.
I love that they're acknowledging their history together.
Yeah, it's great.
It really helps to build the feud and build the importance of it, and it makes Kevin Owens' turn on Sami Zayn in NXT that much more heartbreaking, because it's like, no, that was your best friend. How could you do that to him?
And it's just, you know, you see it over and over again, the footage from NXT TakeOver or Evolution, where he turned on him, and Sami coming back at the Rumble and costing Kevin Owens.
That was fantastic.
This is a perfectly well-told story. These two men love to kill each other, is the best way to put it. Kevin Owens took Sami Zayn out of the number one contenders match on the night after WrestleMania. There's so much history, so much bad blood, and back in NXT, these two never had the chance to break out with one another. They never got a pass first gear because they were always building to the bigger match. Because they did the first match was to set up the second match. The second match was going to set up the real match, but Sami Zayn got hurt, so they couldn't move out of first gear. It was more to take Sami Zayn out and debut Samoa Joe rather than putting on a show-stealing match. Now both men are healthy. Both men are ready to go out there and steal a show on the main stage of WWE. Crowd will be hot for this one. They're in Chicago. It's going to be amazing. I don't know who to pick.
As unfortunate as Zayn's injury was, it makes me really happy that the third match, the big match between Zayn and Owens, is going to be on a main roster show and not NXT. And that's not knocking NXT, but it's going to have the crowd it needs. It's going to have the feeling it needs, because it's like just that year of Sami Zayn sitting there stewing while he gets better, while he sees Kevin Owens go on to win the NXT title, and then Kevin Owens goes on and he beats John Cena in his first night, and he has a feud with John Cena, and then he wins the Intercontinental Championship, and he goes on and he does all these wonderful things, and meanwhile, Sami Zayn's sitting at home going, that should be me.
Yep.
That's mine. You took that from me. And he comes back and he costs Owens. And now you have this, just like you said, blood feud between the two of them, where you don't see a lot of those anymore in wrestling. You don't get a lot of blood feuds. You get feuds, but it's like
they're not personal.
They're not personal. And there aren't, it's like every kind of generation has that blood feud where they're going to fight each other till the day they die. And there's nothing you can do about it. Kind of thing. And I really feel like Owens and Zayn is that our generation's version of that, because it's so personal.
You remember the 4 years Sean and Hunter fought with each other?
Yes.
This could be this.
Yeah, yeah. Former best friends, they know each other very well, and now they're fighting.
This may be the last time for a little while, or this may be just the start of it. Who knows? But that's the intriguing part between these two, because anytime they get in the ring, it will be special with one another. I love that even build up to WrestleMania, Kevin Owens was trying to avoid Sami Zayn. And every time Sami Zayn shows up, Kevin Owens is like, oh, damn it, him again? Why is he here? Especially, remember the right night after WrestleMania, it's like, you really are coming out here? Really, Sami? Really? You're interrupting me? Really? Really? I thought I was done with you. And that, it's just the reaction, like, oh, God damn it, Sami Zayn again. Will this guy ever just go away? And he just doesn't go away. And he'll be in Kevin Owens' life for the rest of his WWE career. And it's amazing.
And I'm okay with this.
I'm very much okay with this. It's spectacular. And these two guys know this is a big stage. They know eyes are going to be on them. And they're going to look to tear down the house, because they know what the main event of the show is. They know how the crowd's going to react. They're going to put on a hell of a show. That being said, I guess I'm going Kevin Owens. Because the old adage goes, if Sami Zayn wins, there's no point of them continuing on. If Sami needs the big win at some point, I say Kevin Owens gets it tonight. Or Sunday, rather.
I don't know who to pick.
Well, you decide. I'll let you decide for a second. The 8-Ball, who took a very long time to decide, it spun around waiting and waiting and waiting, picked Kevin Owens.
God, the 8-Ball doesn't know who to pick.
It sat there for a while. I was like, do I have to hit it again? Did it not click? But I was like thinking, as I asked the question, will Sami Zayn meet Kevin Owens? My sources say no. So that has Kevin Owens. WWE 2K16 has Sami Zayn beating Kevin Owens. And to give you even more time, the Panthers have pick is in. And who did they take?
Vernon Butler, defensive tackle from Louisiana Tech.
Well, there you go. He's been waiting around all night. It's like, it's 10:30 there. It's like, oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and there's one more pick in the final round for the Seattle Seahawks.
Two, is it one? Yeah, one more pick?
Yeah, Seattle's got to be the last one because Carolina had the 30th pick. We're already at number 30.
I think Cleveland has one more pick.
How can Cleveland have one more pick?
Because they have picks.
How many goddamn picks does Cleveland have? They've had like five.
They have a lot.
Jesus.
I'm going to NFL.com to really, they had the Seahawks have the final pick. So yeah, one last pick.
One last, I was going to say, God, there can't be.
You're right.
Oh my God, I got him to say it on the air.
I did not say what you thought I said, though.
You said you're right.
You're right.
You said you're right.
You're right. Yeah, but I didn't say anyway.
Damn it.
this close.
That close. No, because the way NFL.com has it, it goes to 32 picks, but they skipped over 29. That was it. So we have one more pick to go.
One more pick.
That's why I was that's why it was confusing.
One last pick, and so, then we're done.
Then we're done. So they're on the clock for the final pick. So who's your pick?
Oh, let's see. Kevin, Sammy won the first one. Kevin won the second one. Kevin really needs...
Kevin won both.
Oh, Kevin won both?
Kevin took the title, right?
That's right. And then Kevin beat down Sammy.
In the rematch.
Crap, Kevin needs the win.
So does Sammy.
So does Sammy.
Do you have a coin?
You see, I don't, for me, if Sammy wins, that's not it. Because Kevin Owens won't be able to live with himself if Sami Zayn beats him. To me, if Kevin Owens wins, then it's over. Because Sami Zayn, it's like, okay, Sami's probably gonna be like, alright, well that didn't work out, and he moves on to something else. Because the thing is after this is what, Extreme Rules?
Yes.
So, honestly, I would have Sammy win, and then Kevin and Sammy challenge each other to some kind of Extreme Rules match, and then you take it there. Whether it's a hardcore match, whether it's a cage match, whether whatever. You know, Canadian on a pole match, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I want to go with Sammy.
So, there you go.
I'm taking Sammy.
So there you go on that one. What's next? Main event?
Let's see. We've done... No! Ambrose and Jericho.
Oh, yeah. Ambrose and Jericho. This should be another show-stealing match.
It may or may not be. It all depends on... I know Dean's going to try, but it all depends what we get for Jericho.
Heel Jericho's been good. He's really found his form back as Heel Jericho, which has been good. Mm-hmm. Which has been good. And this is the battle over the highlight reel, now turned Ambrose Asylum, which now has a plant, which is named what?
Mitch.
Mitch the plant. The ficus.
The ficus. A very rare ficus.
A very rare ficus.
I love how they've done this feud. I love how they've built this feud. The Jericho and Ambrose have really, really great chemistry together, and they play off each other very, very well. Jericho doesn't really know what to do with Ambrose, just in terms of a storyline sense, because he's never really encountered someone like Ambrose before. So it's like, and Dean's just being Dean. So I love the chemistry between the two. I love the animosity. I love how this is a very heated feud, even though it's over the highlight reel. That being said, Dean needs a win. Dean needs a win in the worst damn way.
Yeah, he does.
He's lost like the last 6 pay-per-views or something like that.
He's lost every pay-per-view since the Royal Rumble.
So not 6, but 4?
I would say 4 of the last 5, because he won the Intercontinental titles at TLC, but he lost at Survivor Series to Roman in the main event.
Right. Yeah, I remember that because I was there.
By the way, going back in history, didn't Jericho walk out after the match when Ambrose and Reigns teamed up against the Wyatts? The forgotten feud there.
Yeah. Which they haven't brought up.
They haven't really brought up. But yeah, Dean Ambrose needs to win in the worst way possible.
I don't see Jericho sticking around much longer after this.
We keep saying that every month. But I think he's around for the long haul. But we'll see. But Seattle's making the final pick of the first round. And their pick is...
Jermaine Ifedi? Offensive tackle from...
Texas
and A&M.
Why did it look like he was wearing the Nexus logo on his shirt?
Get out of my head. Get out of my head. That's what I was thinking. It's like, why are they all wearing Nexus shirts?
The one brain thing kicks in again.
One brain.
Ifedi. So there you go. That's the first round picks in the NFL draft. There you go. All right. I'm going Ambrose. Who are you going with?
I have to say Dean. He needs it in the worst way. It doesn't do anything to have Jericho win, because Dean isn't really going to come back for revenge. I think if you're going to do a return match between those two, Dean has to win for Jericho to come back after him, unless you're going to move Dean on to something else. But I think you're going to take these two to Extreme Rules, because it's only 3 weeks and you don't have time to really build anything new, and do some sort of stip match between them as the blow off. You really almost kind of have to.
8-Ball goes with Jericho. Wait, goes with Ambrose, and 2K16 goes with Jericho.
You have to be difficult, 2K16. So last, in your main event, but certainly not least, the champion Roman Reigns and his daddy jeans are taking on AJ Styles. How weird is this?
very weird.
We have Eric Young in TNA. We have AJ Styles debuting or going for the WWE Championship.
You have Eric Young in NXT.
NXT. Thank you. Sorry. Tired. And AJ going for the title. I mean, what is this? What year are we in? What planet are we on?
We're in the WWE universe where anything is possible. You have the sort of Bullet Club wandering around, could play a factor. The Usos could play a factor in this. You have a Finn Balor who could be playing a factor in this. You never, never know. Things are really up in the air and things are crazy. But 4 months in, AJ Styles has competed in the Royal Rumble, been a part of WrestleMania, and is now challenging for the WWE Championship. It's crazy. It's awesome. It's weird. It's fantastic. All the adjectives you can use, it works for this situation. The sad part is Roman Reigns is going to walk out WWE Champion.
Yeah, he is.
It's sad because you want to see AJ Styles become WWE Champion. It would be great because guess what? They're giving the fans actually what they want. And yes, Roman Reigns is the babyface that he should be the champion. It's giving the majority of fans what they want, or the minority, rather, in this case, when it comes to Roman. The majority would like to see AJ Styles. I just don't see him winning the belt. It sucks. I want to see AJ Styles as the WWE champion. It would be the coolest moment in history, because now, finally, a true TNA guy would be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It would be awesome.
Oh, it would be epic. I don't think it's AJ's time yet. It will come. He will be champion, but I don't think it's just yet. I would agree that Roman walks out champion, but there are going to be, I think, if there's going to be shenanigans in any match, it has to be this one because you have the Bullet Club factor, you have the Uso factor, you don't know what the status of Finn Balor is, if he's going to show up at this pay-per-view or not, and if he's going to get involved at all. But at the very least, Anderson and Gallows are going to get involved.
So we'll probably use those.
So I can see AJ winning the match via DQ, but Reigns retains.
Okay. I have Roman Reigns winning and beating AJ Styles with a pinfall. Who knows what happens afterwards? We could see the Bullet Club turn on AJ Styles. You never know. Something could happen. Go ahead.
My only concern with that is AJ getting pinned kills any momentum he has.
He lost at WrestleMania to Chris Jericho.
Right.
I'm just saying, logic doesn't make sense. I know.
Logic doesn't make sense, but to have him lose again at Payback directly after WrestleMania, I mean, a clean win doesn't do much better, but a win is a win. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I agree with you. But it's WWE, so you just don't know. So I asked Magic 8-Ball, will Daddy Jeans beat AJ Styles? They said most likely. And WWE 2K16 has AJ Styles beating Roman Reigns. Now, before we go to break and all that fun, happy stuff, we have one more thing to talk about at Payback.
Oh?
Who will get control of Monday Night Raw? Will it be Stephanie McMahon or Shane McMahon? Or will a competition be put in place between the two?
Competition.
You think?
It makes the most sense because it's, okay, so you put Shane in charge of Monday Night Raw, then you're going to have Stephanie trying to get it back, which, again, that calls for a competition or calls for some other sort of means. And if Stephanie wins, then we kind of go back to where we were pre-WrestleMania with the Authority, and Shane goes away. I mean, it all depends on how long Shane McMahon is around for.
I don't want to see Shane go away just yet. So I'd rather either him keep control or them start some sort of competition.
I'd rather see the competition because I think it could be more fun.
It could be. Oh, it could be. And the two of them on Raw together was just great. So I wouldn't mind seeing more of that on my television screen. But that being said, should be a fun show. Should be a great show. I'm looking forward to Sunday. What about you?
I'm excited for Sunday. I can't wait for... And it's for a variety of reasons. You know, Camp WWE, Payback, Once Upon a Time. Should be a fun night. I don't know how I'm going to watch all that, but that's why God invented DVR.
And a day off for your birthday the next day.
Yes, yes. It's my birthday weekend, y'all. Holla holla.
Yeah, it is. Monday's her birthday, so tweet Lindsay on Monday a happy, happy birthday.
Yes. But on that note, I say we take our third and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to be joined by the amazing Evan Michael Lee, where he's going to tell us all about his trip to Camp WWE. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Your heart is beating, 'cause you know that you got it. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
This is your Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and I'm going to make something perfectly clear to my congregation. When Pope is done pimp-slapping all of his opponents in the ring, and Pope likes to sit down and relax, he goes to youtube.com/MBG1211.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
WWE, the single greatest outdoor adventure of a lifetime. A wonderland of...
You're not done talking, asshole.
Woo! Come with me. I'll show you how much fun woo! You can have.
Woo, 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 woo.
I want to go home.
Woo, woo.
A bra? I can't wear this, probably.
Treat this boy special.
Woo! Where's Austin?
He's a
fine, you win!
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, and the very fine folks over at Gerwick.net. If you're listening to us over there, hello. Thank you so much for joining us, and if you're listening to us either at RackRadioShow.com or WildTalkRadio.com, hello, and thank you for joining us as well. If you're just tuning in, you tuned in at the opportune moment. Joining us right now is one of the voices of the upcoming WWE Network series, Camp WWE, which premieres May 1st on demand on the WWE Network. Everybody, please help me welcome the fabulous Evan Michael Lee. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm super excited to be talking to you today because Camp WWE, it's a highly anticipated series on the WWE Network. I mean, it had to be cool to be a part of, right?
It was very cool. I've been a huge wrestling fan since I was about 5 or 6 years old. So being on this show has sort of been like a full circle moment for me.
That's awesome. Did you have any favorite wrestlers?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Growing up, like, I was a big fan of, like, obviously, like, the Ultimate Warrior and, like, Mr. Perfect and like the Million Dollar Man and, you know, people like that. Like, obviously, like Razor Ramon was one of my favorite, like, of all time.
So it must have been cool then to get to play Mark Henry.
It was very cool. And he wasn't even the first one I auditioned for. That wasn't even the one they brought me in for. They brought me in for R-Truth. So when I read for R-Truth, they were like, oh, well, can you also read for Mark Henry? And I only had R-Truth in the back, so I didn't really have anything like prepared for Mark Henry. So I just kind of had to make a quick decision. And I guess they just really loved that one the most.
And they just went with it and you got the part. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of a long journey. I had to audition 3 times.
Oh, wow.
I auditioned the first time in front of casting directors, and then they brought me in front of Seth and Aaron, and they were really, really nice and really, you know, fun to work with. And then they brought me in about a week later, a third time for Seth and Aaron. And then I got a phone call saying that I didn't get it. So it was kind of like, oh, that's disappointing, you know, because I would have been, you know, really fun to be a part of this. And then as life goes on, like, I just kind of put the whole thing out of my head. And then I got a phone call from my manager saying, was I available that weekend because they might want to use me for the show. And I'm thinking just like maybe background vocals or whatever. But I got a call the next day saying that they gave me the role of Mark Henry. And I was just like over the moon. Like I couldn't, I was saying a lot of four-letter words that I probably can't say on the radio. But yeah, needless to say, I was very happy.
I'm familiar with those four-letter words. And when used with joy, yeah. It's an amazing experience.
Very, very amazing experience.
So I'm curious to know, how do you get in the mind frame of Mark Henry? Did you have to watch any footage of him, or did you even get to talk to him?
I grew up watching wrestling, so I remember Mark Henry when he was, you know, the Sexual Chocolate, and like when he was with the Nation of Domination. So I was like kind of familiar with him already. But I didn't really know much about, outside of like Olympic weightlifting, I didn't really know much about his personal life. So I YouTubed him and I kind of like looked him up on Wikipedia just to kind of like get a feel for him. I did not realize this, that when he was in the fourth grade, he was 5'7" and 225 pounds.
That's crazy.
I thought that was absolutely like amazing. So I just sort of like used like the knowledge I learned from him, you know, to my advantage. And unfortunately, I didn't get to meet him, but I've been so familiar with him like my whole life that it was pretty easy to sort of play a lovable big guy.
And they kind of play that up a little bit, I think, in the show, just from the still shots that we've seen and the previews that we've seen, because obviously it hasn't debuted yet, but they've been putting out all kinds of materials for it. I think he's got a beard and everything.
Yeah, he's got a beard. He's got a really, really, really big smile. And I think, I mean, I don't know if, I've only seen a few pictures of Mark Henry in real life, but he's, you know, I know I smile very big in real life, so I don't know if they use any of that in the animation, but I definitely can see a little resemblance of myself. And I'm not even like a big guy, but I think the smile is the thing that really just kind of made me just laugh out loud to myself.
Well, that's important. I mean, the fact that there's a little bit of you and there's a little bit of him, and it's a good mix. And I always, I'm an artist, but I'm not an animator.
Right.
So I'm semi-familiar with the process, but not completely. But it always makes me really happy when I see that they take the qualities of the voice actor and put them into the character a little bit.
I think that's what makes it more fun.
Yeah, it makes it so genuine. And it's like you get to see that person smile or get to see that person's reactions in the character. And it just makes it that much more believable, which is really cool.
Absolutely.
When you're dealing with cartoons, it's really not believable, but you kind of want to be. even in an adult situation, you want it to be somewhat believable.
There are plenty of those in this show.
I was going to say, so what can we expect from Camp WWE? Because it's being touted as an adult animated series.
Yes, yes. The best way, I think Seth said it best himself. It's sort of like South Park meets Archer. If anyone's not familiar with Archer, it's on FX. It's a really funny show. You should check it out. But yeah, it's like a combination of both of those shows. So I think most of us are familiar with South Park and how crass it can be, you know, in terms of like the language and subject matter, and then sort of the wit of Archer in terms of the delivery.
I was going to say, I think I've seen from the previews Ric Flair going to like a strip club and Vince McMahon pulling a bra out and, you know.
Oh, just get ready. Vince McMahon, like when I got the scripts for this show, like I was reading them at home and I was legitimately laughing out loud. I was like, I hope everyone else finds this as funny as we all do. But I can definitively say Vince McMahon will steal the show. He is so funny on it. Like, all of his lines are just, they're comedy gold. Just get ready.
Just get ready.
I was just on the floor laughing.
Did you record individually, or did you guys do it in a group, or how does that whole process kind of work?
Yeah, for this show, we record individually. So it's just me in the booth by myself, and then Seth and Aaron are on the other side, and there's a few other people on the other side as well, and you kind of like go over the lines over and over again. And what I really found funny, because as an actor, I really love to improvise and just sort of like go off the rails a little bit. They really love that kind of stuff. So I got to improvise quite a bit. So I don't even know all of what they're going to use. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
When I watch this with all of you guys, I'm going to be watching it for the first time too. So I'm very curious to see what they're going to keep and what, you know, will stay the same.
Right. I can imagine. Now, this is just me, because I have to ask this, and because okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to confess, I've never met a voice actor before. So
really?
Yes. Yeah, so I have to know, is it weird to hear your voice or see it in the cartoons or in the movies like that? Or are you just kind of used to it?
Well, I will be perfectly honest. This is actually the first voiceover acting job I've ever had.
Oh, really?
And it's, yes, this is my debut. So I've
awesome.
Always wanted to do, yeah, I know. And I could have been fortunate enough to be selected for an awesome role, because I've always wanted to do voiceover acting. And, you know, a lot of friends are growing up said like, oh, you have a really good voice. Like, you should really use it. And I never really kind of took that to heart. I kind of just brushed it off like time after time. And then I saw, like, I think I really want to give this a try. I think I'd be really good at it. And then I saw the audition for this, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, wrestling, like voiceover, it's going to be comedy. It's with Seth Green. I emailed my manager. I said, can you get me an audition for this? I think I would be really good for this. And obviously, the rest is history.
Obviously, and I mean, you're clearly the perfect part for Mark Campbell. I can't wait to hear it. So,
oh, thank you.
I'm personally excited for this. It's, you've been seeing it, and you've been seeing the teasers on the network, and you're kind of not sure what it's going to be. And then they've been kind of releasing more and more materials, and you're seeing all the wrestlers as these little kids, and it's like, oh, this is going to be cool. This is going to be so cool.
And then,
cool.
Of course, like, we've all been waiting for it because, you know, obviously they had to delay the show because of, you know, CM Punk's leaving the WWE and, you know, the unfortunate thing with Hulk Hogan. So, you know, we won't go there. But, so, yeah, it's been a long time coming. And, you know, I've been with the show since September, the end of September. Yeah, so I've been working on it for quite some time. So I'm, like, just as the fans are excited to see this, I'm just as excited to see it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about anybody else. I can't express it enough. I can't wait. So you said that this is your first voiceover job. So I'm curious to know, what other projects might we have seen you in?
Well, well, as we all know, LA is very tough. so I was, I've just sort of been like on end jobs as well. I also dance professionally as well as acting. So I do a lot of stage shows, and I was on an episode of a show on Discovery, Investigation Discovery. I think it was called, I actually don't even remember the name of the show, but I played a paramedic, and I just had a couple of scenes and whatnot. But in addition to this, I also do a internet-based radio show every Monday on Z420. Yeah. It's with, I co-host it with two friends of mine. One is, she's a transgender, and the other one is a drag queen. So we sort of talk about just everything going on in the world and just everything that kind of happened that week. So it's kind of a really interesting show. And
so
it's a very unique perspective from all of us, because we all have three very different personalities.
Oh, I bet. What's the name of the show? I'd love to go listen to it.
It's called Spill the Tea. And it's on Z420.tv or Z420.com. When they literally just changed their network name about like a couple of days ago. So I'm still sort of getting used to telling people Z420. And I'm like, oh, wait, it's not T-Radio V anymore. Yeah, so it's either Z420.tv or Z420.com.
Okay. Well, I can remember the Z420, so I can look that up. So I look forward to listening to that. That sounds awesome.
So,
Evan, I want to say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So everybody, you can follow Evan on Twitter at Evan Michael Lee and check out Camp WWE premiering May 1st on demand on the WWE Network.
Yeah, and feel free to tweet me if, you know, tell me what you think of the show for anyone out there.
Oh, we will.
Because I tweet everyone back.
I can't express enough. I'm so excited for this.
I'm so excited too, because I don't know if anyone saw USA Today, but they put a 4.5-minute behind the scenes look at Camp WWE. And as Aaron and Seth talking about the show, and you know, you see clips of like Vince McMahon and Sergeant Slaughter and The Godfather, and you know, Triple H doing his own voice, and they show a few of us kind of doing our own voices and whatnot. But it's on YouTube, it's on USA Today, so anyone wants to check that out, you can see a little bit more in depth of the show, and I promise you, it will get you so hyped and so pumped for the show. Like, I'm just as excited as everyone else. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. So, Evan, thank you so much once again for joining us. Greatly
thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
Don't forget, everyone, follow Evan on Twitter at Evan Michael Lee, and don't forget, Camp WWE premieres this Sunday, May 1st, on demand on the WWE Network. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be awesome. Right?
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic.
Come on. You got to be more peppy. I got to be excited.
I got to bring more spirit to the table. All right. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be amazeballs.
We're going to be the spirit squad for Camp WWE. Let's hope we don't end up in a box.
I'm not ending up in a box.
You're not ending up in a box?
I don't want to be put in the box.
Okay, we're not going in the box, y'all. We're not going in the box, but everybody, come out of the box and watch Camp WWE, because like we keep saying, it's going to be hilarious, it's going to be awesome, and apparently Vince steals the show.
From every teaser I've seen, it looks amazing, and I can't wait to watch it this Sunday on demand on the WWE Network.
But I say we're done. What do you think?
I say we're done, too.
All right, well, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
I always have stuff to plug, don't I?
You have a lot of stuff to plug. You have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Hardest working man, the real Mr. No Days Off right here.
God, I have so much to plug that I can't even remember it all, but it starts this Saturday night, live at midnight-ish at the CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, and it's a birthday celebration you can't refuse.
Happy birthday, Rob!
Tune in Saturday night, midnight-ish. For a birthday party. A birthday celebration. You can't refuse. Can't even remember what I wrote. You can't refuse. That's what I wrote.
So it's basically hashtag blame Rob's mom.
I'm gonna use that on Saturday as the hashtag for the show.
Alright!
See, she does my show prep for me. Anyway, follow the show.
I do.
She really does sometimes. Or sends me stuff. Anyway, at Super Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob. When a celebrity dies, and for Rob's birthday, hashtag blame Rob's mom. Sunday night is 11 p.m. Eastern. It's WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, and Heartbreak Mike, as they will recap everything that goes down at WWE Payback. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go to youtube.com/rackradioshow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and see the simulation preview that we talked about earlier for WWE Payback from WWE 2K16 that I put together. Check it out. youtube.com/rackradioshow. Follow the show on Twitter at @rackradioshow, facebook.com/rackradioshow. Check out the website, rackradioshow.com. Get us on iTunes, Rack Radio Show, and Google Play, The Rack Radio Show. It's that simple. We're all over the place. I'm at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out Tim's hockey picks, available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211, and Gerwick.net. So, for Evan Michael Lee, for Rock, I'm Lindsay, and you've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
www.thewrestlingnetwork.com.